Mark, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Well, how can it be anything other than great? Where do I get my World Series tickets? Is it too soon?
little soon. I mean, the Cubs are still on pace for like 122 wins or something. So, you know, it's not everything's evened out yet.
No, not yet. But the nice thing is, and we were talking about it last hour here, what they're doing now, they haven't seemed to have done the last, at least three of the last 4 years, if not all four, they're beating those teams that they should beat.
Yeah, it really helped. You know, in April, they looked like a good team, but they were mostly facing other really good teams. So there wasn't much of a break there. May has been a little easier for them. It's given them opportunities, you know, to really, like, hit hard against the teams that they should be crushing if they're actually a good team. And they've done that.
Now, what David Ortiz is doing is just incredible. And you posted earlier today on social media a comparison of some of the other guys that put up impressive numbers at 40s, and Ortiz certainly holding his own, and that's with much of the season still to go.
Yeah, he's on pace for the greatest season by a 40-year-old ever. You know, at this pace, he would smash Darrell Evans' record for homers as a 40-year-old. He'd have a better overall season than Willie Mays did in his last year. And you know, he's got another 110, 120 games left this season to get to that point. So but there's a lot that could go wrong. But, you know, with the way he's been hitting, it also feels like there's a whole lot that could keep going right for him.
Mark, on the flip side, the veterans have been doing really well, but the kids have also been really stepping up to the plate and showing what they're capable of. Which one of the youngsters has really shined the most in your eyes?
You know, it's hard not to notice what Xander Bogaerts is doing as a continuation of 2015. You know, he had plus power in the minors, and everyone thought he was going to come up, eventually hit 25, 30 homers. He's really kind of taken a step forward in his game, though, where he's not really looking for power. You know, it's a game dominated by power pitchers and strikeouts right now. And Bogaerts seems to have opened things up a bit, is better at recognizing pitches that he can do something with instead of, you know, trying to just kill it. And it's made him into a high average hitter. You know, he's still hitting for power. The slugging is still there, just maybe not coming by way of a homer. And those home runs might come eventually when pitchers start leaving mistakes up because they're trying to keep them from, you know, hitting doubles every which way.
Now, as we look down on the farm, too, some exciting news for the future of the Red Sox as Andrew Benintendi got promoted to Portland, somebody good for you to actually go see in Portland. And a little bit of an early promotion if you look at the history of the Red Sox in moving their young guys up.
Yeah, I believe it's the fastest trip to Double-A for Red Sox prospects since Dustin Pedroia. And that was over a decade ago at this point. Yeah, Benintendi looks like he's going to be special. Still not convinced that he's a better prospect than Yoan Moncada, but you know they're in very different trajectories. Even though they might both end up in the majors in 2017 if things go well, but, you know, they're working on different things. Benintendi went to college, is a much more polished defender, knows what he's doing out there. Moncada doesn't have a true position yet, but clearly has things set at the plate.
Mark,
at some point this summer, they'll both be playing together.
Mark, how close to the edge did you get during the whole David Price isn't what we or the Red Sox paid for fiasco? And even though he has kind of righted the ship, are you comfortable?
Yeah, I ignored most of that, honestly. It's a really long season, and I've really gotten in the habit of not worrying too much about anything until it's, you know, June. You know, unless there's something like a traumatic injury or someone's lost 10 miles an hour on their fastball or something. You know, Price, it seemed like there was something mechanical going on with him. And it turns out it might have been a continuation of something that began last year. But, you know, maybe they spotted it. The Astros sure scored a lot of runs over the course of that series. You know, even with them not being a particularly good team right now, and Price was the one who shut them down. So, you know, maybe he's back to being David Price, and they get the first place in the division without him being David Price. So.
Are you saying you're also not worried about Clay Buchholz yet either?
Buchholz is only a little different because we've seen this history of him you know, start out poorly years after he had an injury. It tends to go with whether he had, you know, a normal off-season workout or not that allowed him to, you know, be in the kind of shape he needs to be in, have the feel for his pitches he needs to have. I'm not really panicking about him just yet. You know, mid-May has been about as late into the season as it gets for him to really turn things around. But if he hasn't started to show something more consistent, in the next few starts, and the Red Sox might have a decision to make.
We're talking Red Sox with Mark Normandin here on Downtown. Well, you got to have good players and play well to be sitting at 10 games over 500. A little luck factors in as well. And is it a measure of the way things have been going for the Red Sox that they're 2-0 in starts made by journeyman Sean O'Sullivan?
I feel like that was owed to them after missing out on Eduardo Rodriguez and Carson Smith and, you know, not having Price be who he is and Sandoval's injury. 2-0 from Sean O'Sullivan is, you know, they gambled on the lineup, basically. They hoped that he would get the more innings than Henry Owens had been getting them, and the lineup would take care of the rest, and it worked out.
Now, we're not quite at the quarter pole, so it's still very early here, but is this an important road series against the defending American League champions?
Yeah, the Royals are having some problems. They're a good team. They just haven't really played quite like it yet. Their big problem at the moment, though, is pitching. Especially, you know, their rotation was having trouble before they sent Chris Medlin and Chris Young to the disabled list last week. There's kind of no excuse for the Red Sox to not just mash those pitchers. You knock the starters out early, the bullpen will, you know, try and stop the bleeding, but the Sox should be able to win those games. And, you know, as we said at the beginning of this segment, you know, those are games they need to win.
I know he hasn't been getting a ton of work, Mark, but it has to be an impressive sight every time Craig Kimbrel goes out to the mound to see him dominate.
Oh, yeah, I was really excited when the Red Sox got him. I followed Kimbrel for a long time, and I also watched the Padres quite a bit, so it's good to see him pitching games that actually matter.
And now what happens with the rotation here in the days ahead? There are some decisions to be made, but as John Farrell also pointed out, with some off days built in, maybe they can wait a little bit. How do you see this thing shaking out in the short term?
The rotation?
Yeah.
It's a little tough just because Eduardo Rodriguez is clearly still kind of in a spring training phase. Henry Owens is off the table maybe for the rest of the year if he doesn't turn things around significantly at AAA. You know, Joe Kelly seems like he's the closest to being back, but he's also the option that probably deserves to be in the rotation the least. So that makes things a little difficult. If there's any way they can move things around, it's pouring out in Kansas City today, so, you know, they might be able to move some things around to be able to skip O'Sullivan's spot again down the road, but really feels like they're going to have to make a decision about you know, Buckholz or Joe Kelly is what it's going to come down to. And it feels like with the track records, they should let Buckholz keep trying to work through it and put Kelly in the bullpen.
There you go. Mark Normandin, OverTheMonster.com, talking Red Sox. Mark, as always, thanks for making time for us. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, anytime.